Hey, we're on a little mini series of lessons that we'll finish up today before the missionaries are with us next week. If you've been with us, we said we talked about two words, and we'll give you the third word today. The first word we talked about was the word believe. The second word we talked about was the word stand. Just by way of reminder, anything that goes on in your life concerning the kingdom of God, you're going to have to believe God for it. You only get saved if you believe God. You believe what he said, and you confess with your mouth, and you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You repent of your sin, you change your mind, you change your direction. The scripture says you're now born again. You're a child of God. You're an heir of God. You're joined with him. You have to believe something before you are something. And so we cannot receive any of the promises of God, and there are hundreds. No promise is going to be yours personally unless you believe God for it. And then you learn how to stand in the middle of it when circumstances don't look like it's actually working in your or my life. A scripture we've hung our hat on for the last couple of weeks is Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Look at it. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Whatever things, he says, no matter what's going on in your life, whatever things you ask, you're praying, you ask, when you pray, you are required. I am required to believe them. We could say it this way, believe you receive them before you see them, and then you will have them. Notice again, the have them is where we talked about last week, where the have them really tells us there's going to be this element called time. We're going to have to stand many times when we say a prayer, many times instantly, we don't see the manifestation of that prayer. Sometimes it happens instantly, whether it's healing or whether it's a peace in someone's life, or sometimes it could be over the course of days, over the course of hours, over the course of weeks, where you become more and more peaceful. You're understanding the power of the Word of God. Salvation is instant the moment you pray, the moment you receive, the moment you're born again, right then. But when it comes to prayer, so many times there's a time element with it. God's working. He's orchestrating things behind the scenes. He's bringing this in your life and taking that out of your life. He's organizing a relationship to come into your life. He's going to open a door, but the door's not going to open on Sunday. The door's going to open up on Monday. And so what do? You're required to stand. You're required to stand in faith, believing you received when you prayed. Can I get an amen in the room? Yeah. So notice again, you will have them. You will have them. The prayer, again, I can't stress it enough. The prayer has been answered, but you have not seen it yet. This is the tension that we all walk in as children of God. We believe it, we see it, and if you're not careful, the world will say, you're crazy because you don't have it yet. It's not in your life. There's no evidence in your life. The evidence that you have is the evidence of God's word and his authority and his character that he cannot lie. And it is coming to pass. Come on, everybody. It is coming to pass. So you've got to learn. I've got to learn how to be unmoved. I've got to learn how to stand fixed. I've got to learn how to stand firm while I'm waiting. James talks about this, and James says a double-minded man or person will be unstable in all their ways, where we believe God and then circumstances don't line up with what we're believing, and then we quit believing God. We will receive nothing, James, the half-brother of the Lord said. So it is pertinent, it is apparent for us that we have to believe God and have our roots of our life go down into the authority of the character of God, the authority of the finished work of Christ, and say, it's done, it's finished, I prayed, the answer's coming, now I'm going to stand. Come on, everybody. Come on, we're going to clap, let's clap. I'm going to stand. So I was thinking about it this past week and just wrote down some notes for my own self, so I'll include you in some notes that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Here's a thought on the screen. When you believe God, it should bring peace in your life, not stress. So if you're really believing God, it's going to bring peace in your life, not stress. If you're still battling with stress, if you're still like, well, I prayed but I don't see an answer, then I'm not in faith. I'm not really believing what the scripture says. Because if I believe it, there'll be a peace that comes in my life that I have done what God's asking me to do. My head might be lying to me. The time element is working against me. It's not working for me. I'm not seeing it as soon as I think I should see it. But now I'm required to believe him and to stand in the finished work of that promise for my life. Believing, we talked about this about three weeks ago, that believing transforms your thinking and brings you to a place of action. So when you're believing, it number one is going to transform how you think. Think about the Word of God. Think about your current situation. And will then transform you to a place of action. And the first action will be standing, fixed, unmoved, undeterred, because I've made up my mind that I believe Him, I believe His Word, and I'm going to have what He told me I'm going to have. We said this last week. We talked about the prophet Isaiah, that he had come to a king, and he told the king, there was actually two enemies that had come against the king in Isaiah chapter 7. And Isaiah prophesies to the king, and he tells him, listen, these two guys that are coming against you, they're like burned out firebrands. He said, what they're doing will come to nothing. But he said this phrase at the end of the prophecy. He said this, look on the screen in Isaiah 7:9. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. He told him exactly what was going to happen. He told the king exactly, they're plotting against you out there. It's not looking good out there. They're planning to come and they're joining together, but the word was, they're going to hear another voice and they're going to leave. They're going to go back. Their plan will not succeed. But the word for the king was, even though we would say, this is the word, even though this is my word for you, unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. You still have a choice to believe what I'm telling you, Isaiah saying to the king, or not believe. And what you do will determine what you receive. There's never a problem with God and His Word, but there will be a problem with you and I, with our standing and with our believing. So if we'll work, there's always two equations to everything. There's the God side, and then there's the man side. God's side needs to be fixed in your mind. It is impossible for him to lie. His word is true. It is sure. It is yes. It is amen. It is forever and ever for all generations. Can I get an amen in the room? The side I got to work on and you got to work on is the man side. Me, my mind, my will, my emotions, the time factor, what I'm feeling, what I'm not feeling, and what I'm seeing, what I'm not seeing. That's the thing I've got to work on and you've got to work on. Amen, everybody? So, here's where we're going today. We're believing. We believe the Word of God. And we're in a season now where we prayed and we're standing on the Word of God. I'm standing. Some days I feel like I'm standing a little bit stronger than other days, but come on, we're standing. Some days I feel like I'm a little, the wind's blowing a little heavy, but I'm still standing. So is there something else I need to be doing when I believe and when I stand? And I would just say, yeah, let's add one more ingredient to this. Let's talk about this. We need to rejoice. We need to rejoice. You and I need to become professional rejoicers. Listen to me. This is an ingredient. This is an ingredient that is going to supercharge your believing and your standing when you're not seeing what you think you should be seeing in a certain amount of time, or the circumstances are lying to you. This one ingredient has helped me for 40 years, I'm telling you. This one, longer than that now, 44 years. This one ingredient has supercharged me and allowed me to stay in the saddle and not do something stupid, not believe something crazy, not go off and do something zany, just rejoicing. Be a professional rejoicer. So let's talk about it today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, Paul says, I say rejoice. Come on. He's writing this from a prison in Rome in his first imprisonment. He's writing this letter to people outside, and he's happy on the inside. He's writing from prison. He uses in this letter, four-chapter letter, he uses the word joy, joyful, or rejoicing 19 times in a certain translation. Listen to me. We need to be people who, let's give you some different words. We need to be people who praise. We need to be people who worship. We need to be people who thank. We need to be people who glorify. We need to be people who magnify God. We need to be people who just, like, let's say it this way, just get happy about being saved. Come on, everybody. So we are required to get our emotions in line with the Word of God. Over and over, we got a book called the Book of Psalms. It's 150 psalms, 150 songs that were written in magnifying God or telling God a certain plight or situation in their life. Over and over, the psalmist would write about magnifying God and worshiping God and praising God and being joyful in God. And Paul takes that same theme when he's writing in a Philippian jail that we need to be people who learn how to rejoice while we're standing and believing God. It will supercharge your faith. Listen to me, look on the screen. Rejoicing is a vocal choice and exercise to walk by faith and not by sight. It's a vocal choice. I'm choosing to rejoice. You can't rejoice quiet. You are required to lift your voice. You're required to declare who God is to you in the current situation you're faced with. You're required to lift your hands and to magnify Him and to worship Him in the midst of a dark, dark hour. This is what faith requires you to do. If you say, I believed, I received when I prayed. Man. Man, maybe some of y'all need some practice. Maybe some of you, how about you just kind of follow along with me? Come on, just say it with me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
His mercy endures forever. Come on, great is the Lord.
Faithful is the Lord.
Come on, reliable is the Lord. Come on, He's my God. Come on, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. The Lord's my Father. He takes care of me. How about every day when you get up tomorrow? How about every day you start getting up tomorrow? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You get up and you're praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. You go downstairs, the dog chewed your slipper. Praise the Lord. You step on a Lego. Help me, Lord. You got kids? Praise the Lord. You need to praise the Lord right then. Learn to rejoice. Learn to think about your current situation that you are believing God and standing in, and learn how to rejoice. It's a vocal choice and exercise to walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, rejoicing will recalibrate your trust. It'll get you thinking right. It moves you from trusting the sense realm to trusting the God realm, the unseen realm. Rejoicing, magnifying God, worshiping God, I would say, is an accelerator to your faith. It's like putting gasoline on the fire of your faith. So when you're believing, we all been there. You're believing. Come on, I mean, just we're believing. You're believing for whatever it is, and you're not seeing it. And you know I got to stand. I'm not going back. I trust you, Lord. What's going to help me stand? Rejoicing is going to help you stand. Rejoicing is going to help you stand. So control your environment. Put it on in that. Put on some worship in the car. Put it on in the house. Control your environment. Come on, Psalm 5. Look at it, verse 11. Let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you. Let everybody, but let all those rejoice. That's you and me. Who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy. Always shout for joy. Because God, you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you'll surround them as with the shield. He's saying, if you really rejoice, if you really trust God, you really will rejoice. You won't be moved by your circumstances. You won't be moved by the time element. Listen, rejoicing is a demonstration that you trust God and you don't trust your circumstances. We could say it this way, that rejoicing is a sign of active faith. If there's no rejoicing, I don't know if your or my faith is really active. You could have dormant faith, rejoicing, magnifying God, declaring God. I know you heard me, Lord God. I know you're working. I know you're sending labors across my unsaved child's life. I know you're going to provide that job for me because I prayed for it last week. I don't see it right now, but I know you're working. I know doors are opening. So I just decide to just say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Amen. Come on, everybody. I choose to praise you before I see you opening up my Red Sea. It's easy to, on the other side of the Red Sea, when Pharaoh and the brothers are dead, it's easy to say, hallelujah. Come on, how about say hallelujah when he's charging? That's faith, right? That's faith. Praise, look. Praise reminds the problem who you are connected to. So when you're praising, you're saying, I'm not connected to that problem. Mm-mm. I'm connected to God. Praise, listen, praise is something you give God. Praise isn't something he gives you. This is what you give him. You're not saying, Lord, if you just kind of like give me a little feeling, give me a little emotion. No, you're walking by faith then. Or excuse me, you're walking by sight and feelings and emotions. No, God says praise is something you give him in the midst of something not working in your life. Rejoicing, magnifying him while you stand and while you're believing. Now we know we've got scriptures in the Old Testament, like about this one situation where David, the Ark of the Covenant was captive, and he it wasn't with him. And it was in the enemy's camp, and the Philistines brought it back, and then Uzzah touched it, and he died, and David's ticked off at God, saying, what are we going to do here? And it wound up in Obed-Edom's house for a while, and that brother's house was blessed. Everything he had was blessed because the presence of God was there. And David goes, well, okay, God must be all right with us. And so he got the priests to go back, put the ark the proper way to carry it with the poles on their shoulders, brought back the presence of God, if you will, into Jerusalem. Every six paces, they would have an offering and kill an animal and offer up sacrifices to God. And David was so excited about the presence of God coming back in Jerusalem. He was just up dancing. There was worship going on, rejoicing going on. I said, man, we got God back. And he was so excited. And the only person who wasn't excited was David's wife. David was rejoicing just like a crazy guy, just rejoicing and praising God and twirling. That's what the word says there, and just magnifying God. And David's wife happened to be the ex-king, Saul, his daughter. Michael. And she's looking from a tower, and she's when it's all said and done, all the festivities are done, she comes up, or they meet together, and she says, "You look like a fool in all of Israel." And David says, "I will be more vile than this, woman. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen how good I can praise. Come on, anybody believe God, you got a little bit more to praise God about? Come on. Come on, everybody. Yeah, me too. Me too. And you know what's the sad part? Is that the scripture says from that time, Michael's womb was shut up. There's something about somebody who will point a finger at how somebody else is praising, and that might bring some damnation into your own life. So I'd be careful when you say, "I wish they would be so loud." Listen, go ahead and sing a little louder. As long as you sing on key. Come on, somebody. As long as you sing on key. Come on, 1 Peter. Are we doing all right, everybody? Yeah. Come on, everybody say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9. Whom not seeing, not you haven't seen God, you love God. Come on, we haven't seen him, but we love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, notice these words, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We've got some words that we've been talking about. You believe, and you haven't seen them. What do? We're going to rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, verse 8 says. And then he tells us in verse 9, we're going to receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Ultimate faith, we're all going to go to heaven. That's what we're believing God for. But God's got something for us on the earth right now. So what will keep us in the groove, in the pocket with God in the midst of circumstances and sin and death and darkness that we're living in this earth? What's our agenda? What do? We believe. We stand, we rejoice, and we will receive. He says it's crazy words, not used anywhere else in the scripture. You rejoice with joy inexpressible. What would inexpressible joy look like? You can't express it. What would it look like? I would say it might be just something like this, that there is a joy inside every person who's believing and standing, listen to me, that shows up on your countenance. It's inexpressible. I'm not uttering it. I'm not dancing about it. I carry it with me. If you look at somebody and they say, "I'm believing God. I'm standing, I'm believing God." Listen to me. You got a little work to do. Because listen to me, grieving and rejoicing don't go together. There's somebody who will be believing God and standing. Listen to me, you've known, maybe you're in the middle of it right now. I've known people, I go, I cannot believe they're still serving Jesus because the hell they've been through. But if you look at them, there ain't no hell on them. They have been like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through the fire, and the Bible says when they came out, their hair wasn't singed, their clothes weren't burned, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Listen to me. Their thought life was not affected. I'm no longer just thinking fire thoughts. My outer garment, who I am in Christ, my righteousness, robe of righteousness, I'm still right with God. Brought me through the fire. I don't carry the smell of that affliction, that difficulty, that stress, that challenge. This is what it means, joy inexpressible. Come on, how about that? How about something deep within our life? That someone says, listen, and I'm not saying don't be real with anybody. You got to have some real good friends that you can spill all your beans to, if you will. But it's like when you go up and somebody at Starbucks, that little sweet barista, and they say, "How you doing?" And you go, "Well, you know, I have a really bad day, really challenging day, you know." And the chick back there is just saying, "Do you want oat milk or almond milk?" Come on, everybody. How about on your countenance there's joy inexpressible and full of glory? Can I get an amen? Come on, we believe. Come on, say it with me. We believe.
We believe.
We stand.
We
rejoice.
Rejoice.
Let me go on. I was going to read you something. I'll read you something in a minute. I love this scripture, Psalm 22, verse. We okay, everybody, this morning? Okay. Psalm 22, 3. Read it with me. Will you do it? This is old King James. Come on, read. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Notice that. God, you're holy. You inhabit the what?
Praises.
Come on, one more time. The what?
Praises.
The psalmist is telling us God is actively present when you praise and rejoice. He shows up. Listen, in church, we all get together, and you can tell. We all praising God. All of a sudden, you sense the presence of God. Listen to me. The same presence in here is in your bathroom when you praise Him. Is in your car when you praise Him. The same presence. You inhabit the praises of Israel. Someone said this to me, and I've mentioned this to you many, many times over the years, that the primary purpose of praise is to propel you into the presence of God. That you're believing and you're standing, and the devil's lying to you, and your flesh is lying to you, and painting a bad picture. And the primary purpose of praise and rejoicing is to just get you out of that and propel you into the very presence of God. So I would declare and say to you, you need to be doing this more. Come on, everybody. You need to lift your voice and magnify God and walk around the house. And you need to do it more when hell's breaking loose at you. So look, he inhabits, he dwells, he sits enthroned. This means your praise prioritizes his position. So when I praise God, I am saying again, you're Lord, you're God, you're enthroned, you're Christ, you're King, you're the author, you're the finisher, you're the final, you're the finality of my faith. You made everything. You can fix everything. You know things I do not know. I choose as an act of my will and volition to praise you when I don't see it. His presence in your life will change you continually. You need to learn how to be a rejoicer. Psalm 8 and Matthew 21, Jesus speaks in Matthew 21 about Psalm 8. Let's read Psalm 8 first. David writes, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you, God, have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, we would say young spiritually, not just age, but he's talking young spiritually. Even children, you've ordained strength. Why? Because there's an enemy out there. The enemy will constantly be lying to you. And that enemy can only be silenced by one way. He says he's ordained strength to silence the enemy. What is the strength God has ordained? Is it the word of God? Of course. Relationship with Jesus? Of course. Good friend to hold you up when you're going through a tough time? Of course. But what is really the ordained strength that God gives you over every enemy? Jesus takes this scripture and he tells us exactly what it means in Matthew 21. Verse 15, when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna, son of David, they were indignant. Verse 16, and he said to them, did you not hear what they are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've perfected praise? The strength Jesus is speaking of from Psalms 8 is a praise and a rejoicing and a worship that will come from his children that will silence and stop the attacks of the enemy and the avenger in your life. You need to be a professional praiser and rejoicer. Why do I say that? Listen to me. If strength comes as you praise God, weakness comes when you don't praise God. Or just living a natural, normal human existence. This is God. I'm just going through it like everybody else. Why would you go through it like everybody else when the King of Kings lives on the inside of you? Yes, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yes, but the Lord delivers them from them all. You and I will go through the same things many times. People, we would say, people who don't even know God go through. And yet, listen to me, there can be a strength that rises in you that gets you through those difficult seasons that is not apparent with somebody who does not know God. Listen to me, there is a difference between those who serve Jesus and those who don't. Amen? Come on, everybody. The thing that will help you, the thing that will help you while you're believing and standing is this, rejoicing. The devil, listen to me, the devil unresisted will continually gain ground. If you don't resist him with your words, if you don't resist him with your praise, he will keep taking ground in your life. There's a woman, she was a missionary to China. Her name is Lillian B. Yeomans. And she writes a story in a book about healings, phenomenal healings that happened in her life and in her ministry. She was actually a doctor, but she tells a story, and let me read it to you, that there was a friend of hers on the mission field who had a very bad case of smallpox, and they didn't have any kind of cure for it, didn't know what to do. She asked the Lord what he told her. She said, what do you want me to do? And she said the Lord told her to sing and praise him for his faithfulness to his word. The doctor isolated her and told her to lie quiet, but she said, if I didn't praise God, the very stones would cry out. So she sang and sang and praised and praised. The doctor said he feared for her life, but she kept singing and praising God. The doctor then came back the next day and said, evidently she's delirious, but because the hospital where she was had so little help, nursing help, that no one could restrain her. She kept singing and praising God to the top of her lungs. He told her that if by any chance she recovered, that she would actually be disfigured for life. But she kept praising God. The doctor came to her one day and said, why do you praise God so much? And she said, because I have so many smallpox on me. God showed me I must praise God for every smallpox. And she kept at it. The Lord showed her two baskets in this vision. This is interesting. One containing praising and the other one containing the testing of the smallpox, which was full. And the Lord told her the praise basket must be heavier and outweigh the smallpox basket. So she began shouting and praising, and her voice was, and her whole spirit, her joy inexpressible was so full and contagious. They said the Christian nurses on staff there couldn't help it, and they came through and started worshiping and praising God with her. At last, the Lord showed her that the praise basket was full and overflowing, and in a moment, all the symptoms vanished, leaving no trace, not even one scar of the smallpox. Listen to me. You couldn't tell this lady it doesn't work. You couldn't tell her. You couldn't tell her. Romans 4, great story, great scripture. Romans 4, 20 and 21. I love this about Abraham. It said he didn't waver at the promise of God. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Notice what it says. But what did he do? He was strengthened in faith. How? Giving glory to God. Being fully convinced or fully persuaded that what God promised, he was also able to perform. God who would go before him, God who would open doors, God who would move in his life, work in his life when he was 100 years old and couldn't have a baby. The scripture actually says and talks about just naturally, he was shut down. Naturally, his wife, Sarah, her womb was shut down. Yet they believed God. They trusted God. God gave them a promise. You see those stars? That's how many descendants you're going to have. He took him to the seashore and said, see the sands of sea, the kernels, the grain? That's how many kids you're going to have, spiritually speaking, naturally speaking. He was fully convinced, fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. A key in that scripture says that he kept giving glory to God. He kept giving glory to God. That's why we read again, all in the Psalms, in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, whether it's good, whether it's not good, whether it's convenient, not convenient, whether I think anything's happening or not happening. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to magnify God. I'm going to declare his faithfulness to me. Whether I see the prayer answered in a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, I will stand and I will see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see. Come on, everybody. I will see. I'm going to see what God said is for me. Listen to me. Praise needs to be on your mind and praise needs to be in your mouth. You need to be thinking about it. Every occasion, I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. You don't know what's coming against you many times. And I don't either. But I know that there's an enemy and an avenger trying to come, trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And the scripture says God's ordained strength to come into my life by me rejoicing and praising God. It's powerful. Not just a Sunday thing, but it's a daily thing. Again, you need to continually praise God with your mouth because we continually have an enemy trying to destroy your life. And I'm convinced what's in your mouth today is going to be in your life tomorrow. And so what do you got to do? You need to learn how to praise God and worship God. And when we praise, as we said earlier, when we praise the Lord. Circumstances are reminded who we believe in. We believe God. I'm reminding myself, I believe God. That thing that's been going on for a long time, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to magnify God. Like smallpox. Every pock, every pain, every pain, I'm going to magnify God. Magnify you, Lord God. You're the healer of my knees and of my joints and of my bones. You're the healer of my liver and my arteries and my heart. You're the healer of my mind and my emotions and my intellect. You're my healer. Come on, all over the room, stand up. Come on, let's just end the service with our hands raised. Come on, everybody. Let's lift our hands. Come on, I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, I'll bless his holy name. Come on, I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, who redeems me from the hand of the enemy, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, for the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Come on, church, for the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Come on, for the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Come on, for the Lord is good. Listen, this is how Jehoshaphat surrounded. Man, didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to do. And God said, send out the praise and worship guys. Send them out. Listen to me. I prophesy over your life every day. Send the praise and worship out of your mouth every day. Make yourself worship God. Make yourself magnify God. And let's see every wall come down. Let's see God working for us and working around us and working in us. Come on, everybody. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me. Come on, all that is within me. I bless his holy name. I will. Come on, I will. I will choose to magnify you and glorify you. Come on, rain came. Floods came. Rain came down. But our house is built on God. Our house is built on the rock. We believe God. We stand and we will rejoice. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. We will rejoice in a prison like the Apostle Paul. We will rejoice. We will see the goodness of the Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. So our countenance changes. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. We carry it deep within us. An assurance, a confidence, a knowing. We're persuaded, we're convinced. No matter how long we have to wait, if it's like Abraham, 25 years for a son, we will wait on the Lord. And our courage and our strength will be renewed. We believe God. Your word's working. Your word's working. Your word's working. We thank you. We thank you. Praise the Lord. You got a good song? Got a song gonna fit? Yeah? Yeah? Let's sing it. Let's sing a fast song. How about that? Let's worship the Lord here. End of the service. Can we do that? Thank you, brother. Come on. I'll put this microphone down because you don't want to hear me sing. Praise the Lord.